is, when I met him as a businessman, a very, very, very talented businessman, and God called this man to his service. And I'll guarantee you the God's kingdom is richer because of that. And we thank God so much. I want him to come testify and show a video for us.
Thank you. We'll wait just a moment. I'll show that at the end when we're done. I grew up in the Midwest, raised in a Presbyterian church, and had never heard the gospel that I knew of. After I graduated from college, I got married. My wife and I had three children, and I began to work for Kmart Corporation, and I became a store manager. Actually, I was the third youngest store manager in the history of Kmart at the time I was promoted, and had a very lucrative career. I would work 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and as a result of that, the only way that I could get the pressure off at the end of the day would be to turn to drink, and I became an alcoholic. And at age 29, with three children, my oldest would have been about 7 at that time, I had a brand new car, just bought a new house, had money to do about anything that I wanted, but inside there was something missing. And my wife was ready to divorce me, and my life was falling apart. And our next-door neighbors invited us to go to a big day at their church, Canton Baptist Temple in Canton, Ohio. And we went, and I heard the gospel for the first time, but left and went home. And thank God they had some soul winners who came by. And,
hello.
An iron worker by the name of Tom O'Dell, a guy who's spent 40, 50 hours a week up on high-rise buildings welding, asked me a question in my living room in April of 1976 that I'd never been asked before. He asked me if I knew for sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I said, yeah, I know. He said, I'm not a bad person. You see, I'd been taught, like most of us, you live a good life, and your good outweighs your bad. You go to heaven, your bad outweighs your good. You go where the booger man is. And so I was able to, you know, have all the excuses to get rid of him that night. But he left the gospel tract with me. And before I went to bed that night, I said, Lord, I need to know the answer. And I took 30 days and read through the entire Bible from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And I finally got down on my knees as a 29-year-old drunkard and said, Lord, I give up. This is true. And I was in my living room, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I came down the next morning, emptied out my liquor cabinet, never drank again after that, and God turned my life around, put our marriage back together, went away to Bible college, was called to preach, went away to Bible college, and in 1982, I started a church in Methuen, Massachusetts, about 40 miles north of Boston, and it didn't work out real good. We struggled. Attendance never got very big, and so Brother Hiles suggested that. My wife at the time was sick also, and so he suggested we move back to Hammond, and we did. We settled in Hammond, and I was a deacon there for a number of years, and our children went through the school systems. And then in 1997, my father became ill and ultimately passed away, and I preached my dad's funeral in the morning, and that night my wife was killed in an automobile accident. And God kind of turned my world upside down, and as I shared with you on Friday night, I moved after a couple years from living there in Hammond to be with my son, who took a little church up in Midland, Michigan, was doing great. God was blessing him. And then, as I said, Friday night, he became so ill and was about to die. And I told you how Brother Heidenreich and another man came, and we prayed for him, and God spared his life. And through all that, God worked in my heart, and Brother Heidenreich was telling me about everything that was going on in the Philippines, and so when Chad got well and I could, I went over to visit him. And I was a businessman. I was an investor, and I saw how far the American dollar would go, and I said, I want to get involved. And I began to help Brother Heidenreich and others, buying some Jeeps and helping some men physically build some buildings, and took a couple of trips. And it was on one of those trips that a man in Manila, a Filipino pastor, had asked me to come and preach for him, a missions conference. And I said, I'm not a missionary. I'm not. if you want to have a business meeting, get some guys together. I said, I'll meet with some businessmen and show you how to increase, you know, and really be a blessing to your church. And he said, no, I want you to preach a missions conference. And all week, God was working on my heart, calling me to the Philippines. And I left that meeting, and I went to Brother Heidenreich's. And, Doc, I don't even think you were there then, were you, the night that God called me? I think you had gotten sick and gone back, and you came back again later. But in the process of that week, I argued with God. Now, listen to me. My argument to God was, God, I'm doing so much for you financially. I'm able to help people, not just in the Philippines, but in other countries. And I said, if you call me to the mission field, I know that's what you want me to do. But, Lord, it's going to be so hard, because who's going to help the other people? And God just kind of slapped me upside the face and said, dummy, I don't need your money. I need you. And so I surrendered and went to the mission field. And in 2002, I was a widower when I went. And if you were in Sunday school, I told you how Kay and I met. And God has just miraculously blessed us. And we spent those 10 years in the Philippines. And then God has changed the direction of our ministry. But God gave me the vision for what we're doing now when I was in the Philippines in 2005. And now we're traveling the country trying to encourage churches and raise money for national pastors, men who really are doing something for God but don't have the financial means to do that. And so God's allowing us to speak on their behalf. And if I could do one thing today, I'd come to you on behalf of those people that around the world that are trying to serve the Lord, but they're in difficult situations. And more than anything, they need you to be faithful. You to be faithful to do what God's asked you to do, be faithful to give and to help them. And I'll be 67 in just a couple of a few weeks. And June the 7th is my birthday. Brother Heidenreich's born the day after I am. He's a couple years younger than I am, but I always remember that because our birthdays are the same. Do you get that? June the 7th. You get my prayer card. You'll have my home address. You can send cards, gifts, or more candy if that's what you'd like to do. But church has been a joy to represent you these years. And, we were talking to your preacher a little bit yesterday. And sometimes, you know, you can get down and you say, you know, well, things aren't going so good at the church, or God seems to be doing some things in my life that I don't understand. But what you don't understand is what God is doing in other places because of what you're doing here. And so I'd encourage you, just stay by the stuff. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard for your preacher right now. But I honestly believe that the best days for this church are ahead. And I'm excited for what I see here. And I just thank you for being so gracious to us and just for loving us. Your preacher said to me, I need you to come. He said, we just want to love on you. We felt very loved. We'll show you our video. You get an idea of what Lord's done through us and with your help these past few years.